2 weeks in mornings with James, and we're joined by a young man that wouldn't describe himself as a hero, but a lot of others would, including the 13 people on the south coast that he saved during the recent bushfires. He's a 26-year-old volunteer firefighter with the Rural Fire Service and a Bega local, Nathan Barnden. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, James.
Nathan, you and John Gallagher from the Tathra Brigade, if it wasn't for you two, 13 people would have died. Can you tell us about that? What happened?
On the 31st of December, a date that I think most of the locals on the far south coast will never forget, we were helping defend the town of Cawma from the Badger fire that had sort of come out of the northwest earlier during that night. One of the things that I think it was about 6 a.m. when the fire started to impact the township itself, and we took a number of 000 calls to people trapped in home, in that whole Cawma locality. And the first of those was a family of seven who were trapped inside their burning house on Whitby Wilson Road. And one of the most horrific mornings of my life, and one of the days that I wish I could forget in some aspect, but I know I never will. And John and I, we jumped in a car that we had left, and we responded up to that address to find the house on fire and family of seven inside the house.
So what happened once you got there? And I guess take us back there in terms of, what was the heat like, and then how did that family respond?
So driving into that property was one of the most challenging things that I've done. We were driving in what was a normal car and not a fire truck. And at this stage, everything was on fire. The entire landscape was burning. There wasn't one single fire front that you kind of see in movies and in documentaries where a fire front just kind of moves through in a nice line. Everything was burning. And we're driving down a road where you cannot see less than a meter in front of the bonnet of your car. And the car has just been rocked by winds. And you've got debris and embers just pelting the car to the point where John and I can barely hear each other in the driver's seat and the passenger seat. And we pull up at that property and everything, and I can't stress enough, everything was on fire. The shed was on fire. 3/4 of the house was on fire. The balcony was on fire. And John jumped out of the car and ran towards the house. And I remember while he's running to the house, I'm radioing through to our control center that we've made it to the property, but the house is on fire. Next thing I see, John dragging a number of kids over a burning balcony and onto the burning ground. And it's something that a vision that stuck in my mind, because these kids, this was 5 kids and 2 adults. The kids don't have shoes on, they've been sleeping, they've woken up, and the world around them is burning. And I think that's a vision a lot of people in our community will always remember. But it's the sheer look of terror and fear in their eyes and on their faces that is something that sits with me most nights. We piled 5 kids, 2 adults and ourselves back in a 5-seater car, so there's 9 of us, and we tried to turn around and drive back out through what was essentially hell on earth. And there are a couple of memories that just sit really hard. And when you've got a young kid asking whether they're going to live, you don't have answers for that. It's a horrific thing for them to go through, but I can't promise that. I couldn't promise we were going to make it out of the driveway, let alone back to Cawma. And thankfully we did.
And obviously the kids are terrified in that situation, understandably. How are you feeling at this time?
Oh, terrified. I think we were probably as scared, if not more scared than the kids. And part of that probably comes from us understanding the reality of the situation. We knew the extent of this fire and what was occurring, and even just getting into those kids was such a challenge that there was points where John and I looked at each other and said, this is it, we're not getting out of this. And the only thing that can spur you on in that moment is we have to get through, because if we don't get through, then 7 people may not make it. I think it's pretty open and pretty honest to admit that I don't think there was a firefighter out that night who wasn't scared. And that's just the reality of the situation that unfolded the 31st of December and then right through January and February.
Mornings on 2EC.
Thanks to Tara Motors. Car due for a service? Tara Motors have factory-trained expert and master-level technicians ready to service your pride and joy.
We're talking to Nathan Barnden from the RFS, who, along with John Gallagher, saved 13 South Coast residents during the New Year's bushfires. Nathan, thanks for being so open and honest with us. What was it like after the fires when you were reunited with those families you saved?
I don't even know how to put words to that, because it was such a mixed emotion. Early on in the piece, John and I were lucky to meet some of the kids and their mother, Jessica, who we'd also rescued that night, and met their husband, who had been burnt out the back of Yowrie at the property that he was defending. And in one way, it's heartwarming and it's beautiful, and you feel like you've achieved something amazing, but it's also terrifying because it brought back a lot of fear, it brought back a lot of memories of what if we hadn't got to them? And I know we did. You know, we did. They're standing right in front of me. They're there. I can see them and I can talk to them. But it makes you realize how close we came to losing all these people. A couple of months later, after a little more time to think about things, I was able to meet the rest of the people that we had saved. And it's a beautiful moment. And one of the things that I think touched me the most was seeing one of the young girls had her, I think it was her 7th birthday, a couple of weeks after the fires. And it was a really triggering day for me because here she was celebrating a birthday that she may never have had. And it was really nice to be able to reach out and talk to them and to talk to those kids in the months since the fires and try to get a feel for what it is they're going through now.
It's absolutely incredible what you've done, Nathan, along with your RFS counterparts. You not only kept fighting fires when conditions were seriously dangerous, you also lost your cousin and your uncle, Robert and Patrick Selway, who sadly died in the bushfires. I don't think anyone would have blamed you for taking a step back at that time and almost hanging up the boots, so to speak, but you didn't. You kept going. How did you summon the strength to keep going in such tough circumstances?
Look, to be brutally honest, I did. I did hang up the boots, but for all of a couple of seconds. On that morning when we were in Cuomo and we're trying to defend that town and we're trying to do everything that we can to protect people, hearing that I'd lost my uncle and cousin and the pain that we went through instantly and that I can only imagine that the rest of my family was going through is one of the things that spurs you on. In the months afterwards, I thought about it a million times, about not going out, and I would think about it for about 5 minutes and then I'd put my uniform back on and I would head out the door because my community still needed my help. It still needed the help of all of our volunteers, and if I didn't go out and do my job, I would have looked back at myself and felt guilty. I wanted to be there to make sure that nobody else went through what my family did. I think in the end it was 33 lives across the country were lost in these fires, and that's 33 families who will never be the same. And if I can do my tiniest of parts to make sure that that number didn't rise any further, then I would have gone out every day until the job was done.
And Nathan, you came back from working in Canberra just before the fires started to get really bad to help defend the south coast.
Yeah, that's correct. So I've been living in Canberra since I moved here for university in 2013. But despite that, you'll often see me in our yellow uniform down the coast on a fire truck. And part of that is just, you know, coming home to visit. And inevitably, that's just what you do when your family is a family of firefighters. But at the same token, the RFS is something that I've loved since I was a little kid. And it's something that I have been so passionate about, and it's my chance to come home to my community and to keep supporting the place that gave me the life that I've had. You know, on that particular day, I was watching the fires unfold and I saw the potential, I think particularly that the Werribee fire had for Bemboka, and decided that it was time to come home. I left work with what I had in my car and I was home for 2.5 months before I headed back to Canberra.
We're talking to Nathan Barnden, a 26-year-old volunteer from Bega who, along with John Gallagher, saved 13 lives on the south coast during the New Year's bushfires. Nathan, what does it take to be an effective first responder?
The really important part is in those situations, you act and you react based on the best possible information that you have. And first responders, we're incredibly good at dealing with the moment as it's in front of us. But I think it's a really good opportunity to talk about the mental health aspect of this and what happens after the fires.
I wanted to touch on that, Nathan. Can you tell us some of those mental challenges for first responders?
That's, I think, the thing that's really impacting our community now and impacting us as first responders. We had this horrific experience that's unfolded, and you spend months operating on a high level of adrenaline, putting yourself in situations where you don't know whether you'll make it or not. And then one day it rains and it all just goes away. And suddenly you're left dealing with the recovery. And I think we underestimate the toll that recovery takes on a community. And I think that's where our community is at now. And that's what people are feeling.
Mornings on 2EC.
Thanks to Tarra Motors. Car due for a service? Tarra Motors have factory trained expert and master level technicians ready to service your pride and joy.
I mean, I'm happy to be honest about my mental health, and like, I've had this incredible experience afterwards where I've gone through what I'm certain and what I've been going through with doctors is PTSD. It's something that has challenged me since the fires. I've had issues with nightmares. I've had issues sleeping. My relationships with people have been challenged because I've found myself frustrated, angry, and, you know, at times guilty.
Nathan, I'm really sorry to hear that, but I'm glad you're sharing because, look, it does exist and it's nothing to be ashamed of, and neither is asking for help. PTSD is commonly associated with soldiers who return from war, but that's what our community went through. Those fires were our war. And for someone who hasn't been on the front line or been put into those situations, it's hard to understand. So what advice would you give others who may be going through similar struggles?
My message to first responders and to the community who are struggling is to seek help. There is nothing wrong with seeking help. We went through something that people should never have to go through. It was an incredibly traumatic experience. But the only way that we continue to get through that is to look after ourselves and to look after each other. And I think the Rural Fire Service has been absolutely incredible in supporting me through my mental health challenges that have occurred since the fires, whether that's the critical incident support team that the Rural Fire Service has at a head office level who are supporting mental health, right down through to my mates who volunteer. It's been such a challenge, but I think we have such great capacity to support each other. Conversations with your mates are important, but probably more important, and the challenge I think we face is people like first responders don't necessarily seek professional help. And my one message would be that professional help, whether that's a GP or a psychiatrist or a counsellor, has made such an incredible difference to my mental health. And I think it's something that I would push strongly on everyone in our community that's struggling, is reach out. Talk to people. There's no shame in it. I mean, I just said it on radio that, you know, the things that I'm going through. And if people are struggling and they want support or they want directions on how to get help, see a doctor. Talk to the RFS if you're a volunteer. Find someone who can point you in the right direction, but just take that step.
Couldn't agree with you more, Nathan. And that's, I guess, is the first step, is recognizing it and then reaching out, asking for help, because it's not always going to come to you. You might need to actually say to a mate or say to a doctor, hey, I need a hand. And that kind of stuff, PTSD, that can stay with you for life. So
it can. And it's the things that the challenges have been, you know, I think one of the things that I found the hardest to come to terms with is when I'm feeling good, I don't think that I need help. When I'm feeling bad, I'm beyond the point of reaching out for help. So it's this fine line of trying to find a place in the middle where I go, you know what, I can recognize in myself that I'm starting to feel down about this, or this particular thing has triggered me into feeling guilt or feeling sadness. And it's during that period that you've got to reach out. And I think that's such a hard thing to do, but it's one of the most rewarding things I think anyone can do.
Nathan, obviously there'll be a lot of people that would be grateful for what you've done, you and your family and the RFS in general. Obviously, you guys did an amazing job to defend us here on the South Coast. How do you feel when people thank you for what you've done?
Look, I struggled at first. I felt like in a lot of ways I'd let people down. For me personally, one of the hardest things was facing my family after losing Robert and Patrick. As someone who was part of the service that was out there fighting those fires, I felt guilt, like I should have been there for my family. And that's a really challenging thing. You know, at the end of the day, we sign up as volunteers and first responders across the country because it's something that we're interested in and we're passionate about. The thanks is amazing. When people thank you, it does just make you feel amazing. But right now there's a challenge where people are struggling, as we said, and I think it's hard because the community want to recognize what our first responders went through. But I think the thing here is to recognize that as an entire community we went through that. We should be thanking you. We should be thanking the members of our community, the people who relocated early to protect themselves, the people who supported us with food and water, and the people who were there for a chat when we were struggling. I know it's, you know, First Responders Day, but it should be about our community, because the Far South Coast got through this fire, and they didn't just get through it because of the RFS or fire rescue or, you know, national parks and forestry. They got through it because they banded together and they pushed themselves against one of nature's most incredible forces. And to me, we're going through this period of recovery, which is going to take a long time. And we get through that the same way we got through the fires. We band together, we support each other, and we rebuild a community that's stronger and better and is more prepared for the next emergency, whatever that may be.
Anything else that you'd like to add?
Look, I think it's a good opportunity to mention that, you know, although the story that we talked about in Cuomo for John and I, you know, is something that we should be proud of, there are thousands of stories, not just in the Far South Coast, but across the country, from firefighters and other emergency services who did incredible work. And I think, yeah, it'd be remiss of me to not recognise the firefighters across the Far South Coast, whatever agency they're from. We, as a collective, went out there in horrific conditions and did incredible things together. And it's something that I will forever be proud of. Our community is just incredible. And I know I live in Canberra at the moment, but I tell you what, never have I wanted to be back home more. And COVID has made that such a challenge, but I have never wanted to be back there with my friends, with, you know, my family and my colleagues in the place that I grew up, which just is struggling, but I'm so proud to be from.
And this community is proud to have you. There's a lot of Fieries that deserve our thanks, but you and your dad, Clem, and your whole family did some fantastic work, and you've done the whole South Coast proud, Nathan.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
So, mate, thank you for being a first responder, and thanks for talking to us.
Anytime. Thanks, James.
That was 26-year-old volunteer firefighter with the RFS in Bega, Nathan Barnden. 2EC Mornings.